everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Fuel Church podcast. We are so excited that you are joining us today. We want to thank all of you that give generously to this ministry. It's because of your giving that this ministry is possible. To give, you can visit us at thefuelchurch.com. Be sure to check into Fuel Church on social media and let others know you are listening. Every check-in makes a difference as we partner with Causely each month to reach those in need. Once again, thanks for joining us. We hope this message inspires you to take your next steps in your faith journey. Enjoy!
Resurrection Sunday, and we have a lot to celebrate, but I want to rewind for a moment to Friday. Somebody say Friday. Because I know many of us are excited about Resurrection Sunday, but I believe that there's a lot of people in here today that are living in their Friday and their Saturday. Friday, let's begin there. The unthinkable had become a reality. The disciples of Jesus had just seen the one that they loved, the one that they placed their hope in, their faith in, their lives in. He had been betrayed unjustly, tried and executed right before their eyes to the point that the one they loved was unrecognizable. Friday was a day of suffering, pain, and agony. Fear had now become their companion. Paralyzed by its power, they stood in awe that he's really gone. And we just watched the most brutal death in all of history. They said to themselves, he said he would rescue us, right? Then the next day is Saturday. Saturday is known as a day of doubt, a day of confusion, a day of misery. Some call it the silent Saturday. What do you do when God is silent? It was a day where their doubts led them to questioning, the second guessing of, is he really who he said he was? Is he the Messiah? Are those teachings really true? And are they about him? The Saturday, there was a feeling of utter hopelessness that followed them as the day felt like eternity long. And as the day ended, they would ask that question once again. He did say he would rescue us, right? Then came Sunday, the most powerful event in all of history. Someone dead came back to life. Someone dead, think about that, came back, 3 days dead, came back to life. It was a day of hope. It was a day of victory. It was a day that defeated the devil and hell. But here's a fact of life. Each and every one of us in here will experience these 3 days over and over and over in our lives. We will sometimes live in the Friday, a day of fear and pain. And you may be here today in your Friday asking the question, what do I do in my days of pain? What's the answer? You see, this was a tragic loss for the disciples and the followers of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was someone's friend. He was someone's brother. He was someone's son. He was human, but he was divine. There was pain from this loss. And when I think about Friday, I think of the fear that has gripped our nation. The spirit of fear that has gripped us. I think about our young people that have been paralyzed by fear, anxiety, and depression, and the pain that it's caused families. Friday was a day of fear and pain. Saturday, maybe you're living in your Saturday, a day of confusion and grief and asking the question, how do I get through my days of doubt and confusion? You see, they didn't understand. He told them that he would die and he would be resurrected on the third day, but Saturday was silent. And for some of us, Saturday is a day of regret. Sometimes it's a day of shame over the past mistakes we've made and the broken dreams that never happened. These are days that many of us are tempted to shake the fist at God and say, why did you allow this to happen to me? Then we get to Sunday. It's a day of freedom and joy. How do we get to the days of joy and victory? Because this is where God desires for us to live. He desires to take the ashes and make something beautiful out of it. He desires to give us the oil of joy for our mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of depression. And the good news is that if you're living in your Fridays right now, if you're living in your Saturdays right now, that God Almighty has a rescue plan to get you to Sunday. Can I get a good amen right there? You're gonna get to your Sunday. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, there is only one God, and Christ Jesus is the only one. I said the only one. There's one way, not multiple ways to Jesus. Well, I'm just going to find my way and whatever leads me there. No, there's one way. There's one truth, and there's one life that brings us to God. Jesus was truly human, and he gave himself to do what? To rescue all of us. Isn't that awesome? Let's look at Galatians 1:4 says this, Jesus Christ rescues us by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Someone say, my sins. We all have sins. We all have sins. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin had to be paid for. Sin had to be paid for. There was a debt labeled to sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue, it says. Today I want to talk to you about this. The title is The Greatest Rescue. The Greatest Rescue. How many have ever watched a documentary of the greatest rescues and catastrophic things happening, but people being rescued? I was reading an article of the 10 greatest rescues in history, and I just want to share two of them with you so we can get our mind around the greatest rescue of all time. The first story goes like this. In the early morning on May 23rd, 1939, the state-of-the-art diesel electric submarine, the USS Squalus, was conducting a test dive off the island of Chalos when a catastrophic valve failure caused the submarine to sink 240 feet. Due to the extreme depth and difficulty of the rescue attempt, the search was called off until the next day. As the 33 passengers watched the crew compartment, engine, and torpedo rooms flood with water. At 11:30 a.m. on May 24th, searchers sent down the McCain Rescue Chamber, a more sophisticated version of a diving bell. And after a few mishaps, hauled all 33 trapped victims to safety in 13 hours. It was an amazing rescue. Next story says this. It's known as one of the most epic and complex missions of World War II. In January 1945, 121 volunteer U.S. Army Rangers set out to rescue more than 500 Allied prisoners of war who had already survived the Bataan Death March, which was a brutal multi-day forced walk through the searing heat of the Philippine jungles. Thousands of men died. Those who didn't were imprisoned in the notorious brutal camp, Kabataan. To free their fellow soldiers, the Rangers snuck behind enemy lines and launched a surprise attack on the Japanese. The assault lasted 30 minutes and freed 516 soldiers. What a heroic rescue. We've all read about life-saving acts, people pushing others out of the way of a reckless car or somebody jumping in front of a bullet. But what is different about Jesus is that he came on a singular mission. A singular rescue mission to die for you and me and to pay for our sins. You see, only God could repair the damage caused by our sins. Only Jesus could reconcile us back. And this is why he came, died, and rose again for our sins. Had he not come, we would have died in our sins and been lost for all of eternity. But because he came, we now have hope for all of eternity. I love this quote from the great theologian Tim Keller. He says this, and I quote, "Jesus is not so much a teacher as he is a rescuer." Because that's what we need most. Nothing in who we are or what we do saves us. End of quote. See, Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He died on the cross and made us right with God. He was the substitute. He was the spotless lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Very interesting, in the Old Testament under the law, the high priest would bring in the spotless lamb. He would be very particular on choosing the right lamb, could have no blemish, no spots, no disease, no sickness. And that lamb would be sacrificed on that altar for the sins of the people. That lamb could not have any broken areas of its body or its bones. And then Jesus came and became the spotless lamb for you and I. Interesting, through all of the beatings, and if you've watched shows like The Passion of the Christ or The Chosen, and you see how could he endure that. But I have a question, how could he endure that with no broken bones? Because it was prophesied that not a bone would be broken on his body. The spotless Lamb of God would make us right with Jesus. He died in my place, he died in your place. And because of his death, those who accept the gift of salvation are now free from the penalty of sin and the condemnation it brings. Friends, you need to hear this. Jesus' rescuing of us is the greatest rescue of all times. We were literally, yeah, let's celebrate that. We were literally dead in the water with no hope, with no chance, with no future, with no way out. And he came and he threw the life preserver to you and I, and he rescued us. Is anybody grateful that God came to you? You didn't know where to go. You didn't know where to look. You were dead in your sins, and he came in the middle of the ocean, and he threw the life preserver and saved us. You say, Pastor, that sounds all great and good, but I'm dealing with some stuff right now that I need help with. Well, he came to rescue you of that stuff too. Like the stresses of life that some of you are dealing with right now. He came to rescue you from that. Like you wonder, is this normal? Like, we're always stressed? No, you don't have to be always stressed. I know there's seasons, right? I go through it. But living a lifestyle of stress? No. Look what David said. He said, I'm suffering in pain, but rescue me, O God, by your saving power. God can rescue you from the stresses of life. What about the attack of others? Anybody been attacked by some people? Anybody got some trolls in your life? I guess that's what they say. I don't know. You got some haters. Come on. You got some people coming against you, talking about you, right? He wants to rescue you from that. You know, your best weapon against that is silence. So you don't have to battle on social media with somebody. Your silence speaks louder than any characters that you can type out with your thumbs. He came to rescue you. He reached down from heaven and he took me and he drew me out of my great trials. He rescued me from the deep waters, the Bible says. He also came to rescue us from the overwhelming problems of life. You got some problems like me? Come on, you got some, the rest of y'all are lying on Easter. I got some problems, right? But the good news is if I grab a hold of the life preserver, I know I'm gonna be all right. I know I'm going to be safe. It doesn't matter what happens to, it don't matter what waves come crashing into my life. It doesn't matter what storm takes place. I'm going to be all right as long as I hold on to Jesus, his unchanging hand, that he is with me through the storms of life. Come on now, I may sink a little bit like Peter did because I get my eyes on my circumstances, but as long as I hold on to Jesus, I'm gonna be all right. The Bible says we are people. Wrong verse. He reached down from heaven and he drew me out. He rescued me from the deep waters. Amen. God wants to rescue us from the fear of death. So many people scared of dying. COVID has shifted things. It put the reality of eternity in front of us. Because we were dealing with sickness and some of us lost some loved ones. And now there's this fear of death. But can I tell you, as long as you got Jesus, there is no fear of death. Because whoever coined the phrase YOLO was right. You only live once. We go from this life to the next one in a split second. We take our last breath on earth and our first breath in eternity. Death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. You and I don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear death. The scripture says, for we are people of flesh and blood. And this is why Jesus became one of us. He died to destroy the devil who had power over death. He took the keys, the Bible says, to death, hell, and the grave. So if you end up in hell, it was your choice. God will never, hear this, church, God will never send one person to hell. Some of you are like, wait, your theology's off. No, my theology's right. If you end up in hell, you chose to be there all by yourself. You chose it. It goes on to say, but he also died to rescue all of us who live each day in fear of dying. You know what he also came to rescue us of? The prison of addiction. The prison of addiction. He rescued me from it. He set me free from many years being addicted to substances, being addicted to sexual perversions, being addicted in my mind, being addicted to things that I knew wasn't right that were controlling me. I've seen him set so many people free in this church that if you just hold on to Jesus, you are gonna get through this. You are gonna overcome it because there is power in the name of Jesus. He is the great chain breaker. He is the one that'll take that taste out of your mouth. He is the one that'll renew your mind and change you into a new person. He also came to rescue us from worry and depression. So many people worrying nowadays. So many people depressed. A feeling of hopelessness has gripped our nation. A feeling of hopelessness has gripped our teenagers and our kids. Feeling like, and it's a spirit. I said it's a spirit. We know that there is a spiritual world just as real as the natural world that we see right here. And there's a spirit of depression upon our nation. And we come against it in the name of Jesus, because he can break that over your life, over every young person that's battling it. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles, and the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Come on now. This next one is the traps that I don't see. How many of you know you have an enemy? Yeah. His name is Satan, the devil. It's not your mother-in-law. Come on, somebody. If your mother-in-law is here, just give her a nice little pat on the back and say, I love you. I love you. Someone once told me the devil's my mother-in-law. I was like, Lord, don't say that too loud, brother. You know the enemy wants to set traps for you? You know he hates that you're in church today? You know he hates all the fathers that are leading their spouses and their kids to the house of God that are faithful, that say, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. No matter if it's popular, no matter if we feel like it, no matter if we want to, we're gonna serve the Lord. He hates it, so he's gonna set traps to try to get you to fall into, to get you out of the plan and the purposes of God. But my Bible says that every trap Satan sets, God will make a way of escape. Come on now. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every disease. This last one is so important. This is a life without purpose. A life without purpose. Two great days in your life, the day you were born and the day you discover why you were born. And you're truly not living until you discover why you were born, why you were put on this earth. Because it isn't just to go to a job and clock in and clock out and get your pizza on Friday and just live for the weekend. There is a greater purpose in your life, and it's to live for Jesus. It's to make an impact in this world. It's to touch other lives. It's to help other people get rescued as well. I love what 1 Peter says. Peter says this, for you were rescued from the useless way of life you learned from your ancestors. But you know you were not rescued by such things. Watch this, as silver and gold that don't last forever. You were rescued by what? The precious blood of Christ, the spotless, here it is, and the innocent lamb. You were rescued. So you can have purpose. Someone say, I can have purpose. And I know what someone's saying right now. I'm just too far out, Pastor, for God to reach me. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how bad of a person I am. If you were in my mind, if you were in my thoughts, you wouldn't believe that Jesus could rescue me. If you know the decisions I made this week, you know the thoughts in my head after church, there's no way Jesus could rescue. If you know the pain that I've caused in others, there's no way Jesus could rescue me. But I'm so glad that the Bible says God's arm is not too short that it cannot save. Because no matter where you are in life, you are not too far to be rescued by your Savior. Come on, I need a few guys to get on the rope that know what it's like to be rescued. I need a few people to get on the rope that know what it's like. I need some ladies to get on the rope that know what it's like to be rescued by God. You see, you are not too far out of God's reach. It doesn't matter where you go. Yeah, it's a 100-foot rope. We're gonna go all the way to the wall. It doesn't matter how far you go. God has got you. I said, God has got you. Yeah. Come on, bring them up front, Gabe, so we can all see them on the camera. We got a live stream audience that can't see them right there, but let's get them up front. Hold on to the rope. Come on. If you know you've been rescued, let's celebrate today. If you know God has changed you, God has set you free. Come on. Yep, keep walking. I love that young man up on the rope. Come on. Yeah, come on. Give him a hand clap. Perfect, perfect, right there. Yeah. You're not out of reach. I said, you're not out of reach. Talking to somebody watching this message, you feel like God has left you. You feel like there's no hope. You feel like you've wasted 30, 40 years. But God never wastes pain. He never wastes pain. He won't waste your pain. He won't waste your struggles. He knows. He knows you so well, and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. The unconditional love of God finds you. So people say, I found God. You didn't find God. You didn't know where to look. God found you. Amen. You were drowning in your sin. You could barely hold your head above the water. You're gasping for air. And God came and he found you. And he rescued you. You see, the call to salvation is not come to God and then he'll love you. That's not the call. The call to salvation, the call to grabbing on to the life preserver of Jesus is, I am loved.
so I can grab it. I am forgiven. I am valuable. I am a son of the Most High God. I am a daughter of the King. You have a rightful position at God's table. You are loved. You are accepted. You are valuable because of the life preserver of grace that has been thrown to you. You say, but I don't deserve it. That's what grace is. It's not fair. We look at other people and we're like, man, they did all that and God forgave them. Yep. Yep, he did. And then you need to look in the mirror and say, wow, he forgave me of a lot too. You see, when you've been forgiven a lot, you love a lot because you realize what a wretched sinner you are. You see, I need his grace. I need it every day. I need, because some of those things that we just talked about, I'm dealing with this week. I need his grace every day. I have imperfections and I have areas of Jacob that I don't like. And I have something in me called the inner me that I'm always battling with. Can I talk to anybody? Some of you looking at me. I need his grace. I need his mercy. You see, grace cleans up what I mess up. Grace is the face that love wears when it encounters my perfections. Grace is indescribable. It's undeserving. It's unending. It's unfailing. It's unlimited. And it is unbelievable. Grace is the face of Jesus. And I love the gospel of grace. You say, what is this? This is called good news. Somebody say good news. This is good news. This is better than good, goody, good, 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 good news. Goody, good news. We need to do a shirt. Goody, good news. You know why? You know why? It's the best news ever. It's the best news ever that somebody died in your place. That somebody took your sins and nailed it into the body of Jesus Christ. He said, I'll be the sacrifice. He loved you so much. He said, you're worth dying for. Wow, think about that. Think about that. I'd take a bullet for one of my kids, my wife, but for you, I don't know. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? But he died in your place. He paid the penalty of sin. And because of that, God's love and power to save us is greater than our sin that condemns us. Oh, we can clap for that. God's love and power to save us is greater. It's greater than the sin that condemns us. But grace, watch this. Grace not only has a face, grace also has hands with holes in them. And there's only one man-made thing in heaven. That's the holes in our Savior's hands. The holes. Thomas said, I won't believe it until I can put my hand through your, my finger through your hole, your hand. And the Bible says that he put his hand right through it. And he believed. And there's still two answers to the cross. There's a thief on the right and a thief on the left. Both had the same opportunity. Friends, there's still two answers. It's either accept or reject. It's either accept or reject. And you don't have to have your life all cleaned up to accept. You know where he found God? In a jail cell. In a jail cell. Broken, busted, disgusted. 16, 18 years of addiction. And God found him and rescued him. And now he's helping rescue others because the radically rescued rescue radically. When you've been rescued, you're gonna get other people and you're gonna help them. Y'all stand up in First Recovery. Y'all stand up in First. You're gonna help other people, Nathan White, who need rescue. right here. Give it up for these people on their journey of recovery. That's what this church is all about.
Let me tell you guys, don't you ever give up, because God will never give up on you. And let me go a step further and say, this church will never give up on you. And let me just say this to every person here. I don't care what your struggle is. I don't care what your battle is. This place is home for you. And I don't care if you walk in struggling, you walk in smelling like something. It happens every service. Why? This is a hospital for the broken and the hurting and those who are lost. This is not a country club for the spiritually elite. This is the most we dress up all year. This is the most we dress up all year. And God will rescue even the prodigal sons. The prodigal sons who were raised in the house of God, but veered away, and God brought you back. Set you free from addiction. I mean, story after story up on this line right here. I see you, Jesse. I know your story. And now you're pointing to God's glory, because he's the one that found you. On and on. You see, us three used to raise a ruckus back in the day. Mama knows. We were at her house raising ruckuses once in a while. And we used to live a crazy life. Crazy. I can't tell you every story. Right? We can't tell them all. The wild thing is, God threw out the preserver. And I grabbed a hold of it first. And these guys said, man, if Jacob Burgi turned his life around, called him to be a pastor. And that's what some of them are saying about you. If God can turn their life around, Anthony and Matt, if God can turn their lives around, then God can do it for anybody. And then they surrendered. And they got free. It's one decision. So what do I got to do to get rescued? What do I got to do, Pastor? Number one, admit that I need rescuing. You got to admit it. You got to admit it. Listen, can I say this? We are all in the 12-step program. Because our reliance, our dependence is not on self. It comes from a higher power, and that higher power is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're all in the program. You need him every day, not on just on Easter. And God is asking you, are you ready to surrender? Are you ready to admit that you need help? You can never get help until you admit it. You can never find freedom until you say, I need help. I need help. This is the first and most important step. No matter how far you've strayed from Jesus, he finds you right where you're at. David admitted he needed help, and he said, and me, I'm a mess. Anybody ever said that just like me? I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something out of me, God. Oh, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessel. The excellency is not of us, but of God. The treasure is Jesus, that he can make something out of nothing, that he could take what the world says is garbage and trash and makes a beautiful mosaic to spring forth his name and his glory. Jesus, we thank you. Say, I don't know. I don't know if I got what it takes. Yes, you do. I'm just not sure. Well, here's the deal. The Bible's full of people, men and women, who made a mess of their life. They made a mess. And then they encountered Jesus and they grabbed that life preserver. I mean, Jacob was a liar. Rahab was a prostitute. Samson was a womanizer. David cheated on his wife and had the guy murdered whose wife he cheated on with. You're gonna be all right. I mean, we could keep going. We could keep going. I mean, Naomi was bitter. Elijah battled depression and suicide thoughts. Jonah ran from God and disobeyed him. Martha worried too much. Peter cursed a lot. He made the t-shirt. I love Jesus, but curse a little. He not only cursed a lot, but he denied Christ 3 times. They all came to the same conclusion, all of them. I can't do it on my own. They admitted they needed rescuing, and they did this important step. They asked for help. So you got to admit it. Number one. Number two, ask Jesus to save you. When they call on me, the Bible says, I will answer and I will be with them in trouble and I will rescue and honor them. Ask Jesus to save you. Number three, Here's the biggest step right here. As you admit, as you ask, now you commit your life to Christ. It's not about going to church. It's about living a surrendered life every day to Jesus. Not a perfect life. Not everything's going to be all together in your life. But you got the answer now. You have a family now of people who walk with you. So committing to God is not just committing to attending church on Easter and Christmas. I'm glad some of you are here, but we ain't seen you since Christmas. We love you and God loves you. But man, there's a better life. We're just saying. A lot of us have experienced this commitment. Said, God, we're going to serve you no matter how hard it gets. No matter what storms we go through, because now you have the answer in the boat with you when you're in the storm. Before you didn't. You were trying to do it by the arm of the flesh. But now you have the answer. So you say, what do I do? It's easy as ABC. It's easy as ABC. A, acknowledge. Acknowledge you're a sinner and you need a savior. B, believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. C, commit your life to Christ and determine in your heart and mind to honor him with your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. All over this auditorium. You're watching online. You know God is speaking to you. You know God is speaking to you. You know you need rescued. You're far out. You're drowning in sin. You're drowning in self-pity. You're drowning in hopelessness. But today, God is speaking to you. God loves you. He wants you. He knows you. And it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've gone. There is grace in this place. And there is a loving Savior who said, you're worth dying for. You're worth dying for. Accept. Believe, commit, A, B, C. Accept, believe, commit. All over this auditorium, those watching online, God is moving right there in your living room, wherever you're watching from. He's ready to meet you right where you're at, right where you're at. You're not too far. No. He's here. I just want you to know that today. Because somebody said, I'm too far out to be reached. No, you're not. He's ready. All over this auditorium and watching online, if you say, Jacob, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need to surrender to him. I need to recommit to him. I was following him, but I got off track. I let go of that life preserver. But today I'm ready to recommit my life to Christ. We're not here to embarrass you, to call you up front or anything like that. But if that's you, just throw up that hand right now, all over. Thank you. In the chat, online, throw up that hand. Someone's ready to pray with you right now. Come on, throw up that hand. Throw up that hand. If you're thinking about it, just throw that hand up. If you're wondering, where would eternity be for me if I took my last breath on earth today? Where would it be? Raise that hand. Raise that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. So proud of all the young people making decisions for Christ. Teenagers, I see. The best decision of your life, young person. Stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. The world is dark. The world is evil, but stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. God bless you. Hands are still popping up. I'm just going to take a moment. Hands are still popping up. If you need Jesus, just throw up that hand. Just throw up that hand. God bless you, sir. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand, young man. God bless you. God bless you in the back. Wow. That's a lot of hands. Awesome. God bless you. Yep. I see that hand right over here that just went up. God bless you. I see that hand right there. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Bless you. Come on, let's all say this prayer online if you're watching. Say this. Say, Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for my sins. Now forgive me of my sins, and I will serve you every day of my life. Thank you for rescuing me in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, let's celebrate with heaven.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. If you ever have the opportunity, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend gatherings. For more information on locations and service times, please visit us at thefuelchurch.com. We hope this message inspired you to take your next step in your faith journey. See you next week.